Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation. Our key verse for this year is Hebrews 9:11. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come for you.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we just exalt your name above every other name, Lord. Every other name that's in our lives, Lord. Above our names, Lord. We just exalt you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you that you can be exalted in the praises of your people. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would defend us, Lord, in the area of praise and worship, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would begin to stir us up, Lord, to praise you and to worship you, Lord, here on Sunday mornings, but also throughout the week, Lord. Yes. That praise and worship would once become a lifestyle and a passion, Lord, of our hearts, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I just ask right now, Lord, I'm just going to prophesy, Lord. I prophesy in Jesus' name that you're going to begin to raise up musicians and psalmists and percussionists, Lord. Men and women and children, Lord, in Jesus' name. I say you rise up in Jesus' name. I declare in Jesus' name this ministry is magnetic to worshipers in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just thank you for beginning to just suck them in, Lord, that just like a flood, Lord, that they would just begin to flood into this ministry. And Lord, I just thank you for the unity, Lord, of the faith here, Lord. And I just declare in Jesus' name that mom has anointed, she's anointed to lead worship. And I just thank you, Lord, for Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for a new anointing on mom to worship in Jesus' name. And I declare a new anointing for administration, Lord, in Jesus' name, for the leadership of worship and praise in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I just add to you, I pray that you would add leaders, Lord, to this ministry, to mom, Lord, in Jesus' name, to praise and worship in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a reason why the devil doesn't want you to praise and worship. So I just say that not anymore, no. No, I love to worship and praise. I'm a worshiper, and you can't stop me from opening my mouth. You know, the rock's not going to sing louder than me. Praise the Lord. So I don't know if it's just me, but if you come to a place where you know you need to praise and worship, and you just don't feel like it, you don't want to do it, like I don't know if that's just me describing myself, but you guys, don't let that stop you from praising and worship. You need to open your mouth and you need to start singing and praising the Lord. Even if you're tone deaf, you need to sing and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You just need to do that. Praise the Lord. All right. Why are the teenagers sitting in the back? Get up here. Come on. Come on. You guys got to sit up here, okay? Okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you can sit up for us. Cool. All right. Praise the Lord. You know, it's an honor to sit in the front. I don't know why people don't want to sit in the front. It's like, hey, you know what? If you're in church, man, you should be like, oh, on your edge of your seat, like, let's receive whatever the Lord has for us. So I think Dad said it last week. I just like to just give that testimony. You know, we've been declaring favor of God. I've been declaring it, and we're starting to experience it more and more and more and more. And so, Riley texted me. I told him I was coming to the Riley Stevenson from KCM, the Minister of Evangelism. He, you know, we got connected with him through the outreach for the flood, families impacted by the flooding. And so I texted him and said, I'm going to come to the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. And he's like, cool. So a while later, he texted me back and said, I'm going to get you reserved seating. So I was like, hey, cool. So that was really favor. So I was about six rows back in the pastor section from the front. So I had a really good view. You know, of all the men of God that were teaching. So that was really favor. And they were moving people in and out, you know, moving them around. But I pretty much stayed in the same place. So that was favor. I was telling one guy, one pastor met there, is like, hey, even at a believer's convention, there's enough favor to go around. Like, there is.
It's not a finite amount of favor, even in a believer's convention, when everybody's believing for favor. Like, there's enough favor to go around. And so that was cool. So, yeah, the Lord gave me favor there. I just wanted to share a couple things that, you know, I don't know if some of you might have met Tamara. She kind of is the administrator. She coordinated the reach. And so she wanted me to do an interview. So they were interviewing. They had like a couple, like three people that were doing interviews, just of believers that were there, about the convention, about partnership, about the testimonies, you know. And so she said, you should do this. So they gave me an opportunity to do that. So that was a real blessing. So I represented us to KCM. Yeah. So that was favor. I didn't have to come up and say I want to do an interview. I think when you're believing God's favor, like you don't have to make things happen. Like, I mean, you do need to work hard and sometimes you need to beat doors down. But I just really felt like I need to just, you know, see what the Lord does for you. That's what favor does. You just start expecting it to work for you. Cool. So a lot of being at this convention was cool, just seeing how the Lord would lead me to talk to different people and just be patient and just kind of see how the Lord would move me in and out of the crowd. That was cool. So, I guess one of the producers, the TV feature producer, she saw it. They told her about that interview, so they said they wanted to do another one. And so on the 4th of July, while the meeting was going on, they pulled me into a hotel, or they told me to go to a hotel, and so they did more of an in-depth interview. So it might be cool if they broadcast one of those, so they might. They're going to say they're going to send me the DVD, so... That was really cool. At the end of the second interview, I was sitting talking to this lady, and I just started, it just coming out of my mouth, the blessing. I just started blessing the Copelands. And it just was pulling out of me. And I was like, you know, sometimes we think, what do I have to bless such a man of God or such a woman of God? And you kind of think, what do I have to do? But it says that your children will rise up and call you blessed. So I was like, wow, like that's what it was. I was, you know, they're some of my spiritual parents. So I just started to bless them. And I was like, wow, that's cool. So it was just a really cool time meeting a lot of new people and to see what the Lord does with those different connections. But I want to share a couple things, actually, just about how the Lord was leading me there and expecting favor. During one service, I just was kind of not connecting to the message, and I stood up, and I got in the back, and I was just kind of, I felt like I should go out and wait for somebody, and that was, I don't know, it was kind of weird. I was like, huh. But it was, you know, the Holy Spirit. So I just kind of stand up there, I was praying a little bit. It's like a big Colosseum circular thing, so I got out in like the hallway, you know, it wraps around, and I was just kind of praying and waiting for somebody. So I was just kind of waiting, you know, is that person, just kind of see who you should talk to. And so there was a girl that walked by, and I didn't think much of her. And then she came back, and she's like, who are you waiting for? So I just started talking to her. Talk a little bit, you know. I was starting to learn, sometimes you just need to wait and just talk to somebody and see what comes out of it. And so she said she's from, like, Canada. She said, you know, she's a pastor's daughter. And so I'm talking to her, and I was like, oh, I probably should, you know, use the script on her. So... So I was like, okay, so I gave her, you know, I said, you know, I knew she goes to church, but I was like, you know, if you died tonight, where would you go? And, you know, she didn't give me a very good answer. She just said something about her, from her understanding, the only way for her to get out of heaven is if she rejected Jesus or something like that. So I was like, okay, well, she didn't give me a good answer, so I'm going to pray with her. So she prayed with me. So that was confirmation that was, you know, that was hearing the Holy Spirit. So that was cool. There was one even more exciting, though. So I was... I encourage you guys to maybe pray about going to that sometime. It's like a whole week of just solid preaching. It's intense. It really is. Because what happens is Riley was doing, at 8 o'clock, they were doing evangelism. And I don't have a number, but they gave like 700 people. I don't know if it was just one day or the whole time. But they were going out in a group of like 40 people that just go out on the streets of Fort Worth and just evangelize. And so they're on fire for Jesus, and they're just going and doing, and that's really exciting. So if you guys want to learn how to evangelize, it's encouraging to be around other people who, when we get in a group setting of believers, like, man, you just get so bold, really. Yeah, and I mean, you're going to have opportunity to do it here. I'm excited to hear the kids when they come back to tell us their stories. So they just to give you kind of an idea of how the meetings work, at 8 o'clock, they had, like, Riley was in his own, like, room doing the evangelism training. But at 8:30 every morning, they started with prayer. So you come into the Colosseum, and they're praying in the Holy Spirit. Like, they're already there. So that's quite often when I came in, is like middle of that. So they're just praying in the Holy Spirit. And like, it's not just a few people, like half or more of the people are going to be there are there already for the prayer. So they're praying. So then the ministry, there's praise and worship. And then it starts with the speakers, you know, so like 9:30 to like 11 or to 12 actually. So they do morning. And so it's like two speakers. And then there's a break and they start at 2 o'clock again. So they go to 2 to like 4 and they start up again at 6:30 for prayer, and then 7 to like 10 or 10:30. So it's solid, like the whole week. So one of the things, I'm not going to teach on it today, but Creflo Dollar was teaching on grace, and like we all should know what grace is, but I think it's really easy to really fall into self-works. Sure. You know, and so he was talking about the Christian obsessive-compulsive disorder kind of thing. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you do. You really want to serve God. Like, you really want to serve the Lord. And you want to do what's right. But it's so easy to fall into, you know, oh, I have to pray. I have to pray for 10 minutes every morning. I have to pray for 10 minutes. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I have to do this. I have to do this. Oh, if I'm not doing this, I'm a sinner, you know, kind of thing. And then it becomes, you have to be disciplined. There's a difference. Like, you have to be disciplined. But you can fall into self-works and thinking, oh, if I don't declare 10 verses a day, I'm not going to be healed. Well, wait a minute. Jesus healed you. It's his grace. It's a gift. It's not how many times you declare the word. But we do know that the word heals you as you meditate on it day and night, okay? So that's the balance of the Christian life, right? So Greflo Dollar said that the Christian obsessive compulsive disorder. And so, praise the Lord, we're free from that. But that doesn't mean sometimes, you know, you or the devil or whatever tries to, you know, condemn you. And there's a difference between conviction and condemning. So the devil will be like, you're just a loser, you're just a sinner, like you should be in service, you know, or you should be praying, or you should be whatever. And so I got to tell you this. So I wanted to go get some coffee, okay? Sinner, right, exactly. You're like, you shouldn't do that, right? Anyway, so, but I just felt like it wasn't the right moment. And so I went back into the convention area, and I ran into Joe McCroskey and his wife. And so that was cool, because I've been looking at the Jerry Seville table, and because I wanted to meet him, you know, see him. So I got to talk to them, and I'm pretty sure they give their greetings. So then I was like, I'd really like to see Brother Jerry. So he said, well, go stand over where the speakers enter into the, there's like a hallway, and they come right in from like the garage straight into like the inner sanctum, you know. And so there's like security guards there. But he's like, you go stand over there and he'll probably recognize you. So fortunately, he was standing there too. So I just stood next to Joe and stuff. So the service starts, you know, because they're praying at 6:30. The worship starts at 7. And so it's going because the speakers come in like 5-10 minutes before 7 o'clock. So they come in. And so I'm hungry because I wanted to go get some coffee, something to eat. And so I was like, I got to meet him. I got to meet some other men of God like Tracy Harris. I got to see him. And then it was cool. It was really cool to see Jesse Duplantis walk in with his wife and security detail. And then, of course, Brother Copeland and Gloria came in. And I saw Joe's like, the Copelands are coming in, so now we stand back. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go with him. So I stood back. But it was really cool to see people, men of God and women of God, you know, in the same room, like really close. And that just the thing, you know what, just to trust in the favor of the Lord, you know. If I can meet him, great, but the Lord's going to do that, you know. So just trusting in the favor of the Lord, and, you know, my target was I want to talk to Brother Jerry, so he comes in, I said hello to him, and so I did that. You know, it's so good to see you. Favor be upon you, you know. So, and I was telling him about the favor of the Lord. So that was cool, so I got to do that. So anyway, at that point, I could have had the Christian obsessive compulsive disorder where I'm like, you better be in service because you're like, oh, you're going to be a sinner. So I was like, I'm hungry. I'm going to have food. So I went and got some food. I was tired. I mean, hearing the word day and night, that can be tiring. You know, your body's tired. Your spirit's getting full, but your body's tired. So I went up to the parking garage and was eating, just completely exhausted, kind of sitting on the back, just eating. And so then I was like, I took a walk, and then I... it's like 7:45 now. So then I feel like, oh, let's go to Starbucks. So I go to Starbucks. And so guess where the barista was from? I'll give you one guess. Germany, okay. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, he wins. And so he was from Germany. Cool. So I just happened to print the script in German that Bernhard translated. And so I was ready. So I had it in my briefcase. And so I was just talking to him in German, and it just opened his heart to me. And I was just, I mean, I didn't falter at all. Sometimes I'm so tongue-tied. I just, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it was just bam, 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 German, German, German. And so then I talked to him. I asked him where he was going to go, you know. He said South Africa. I didn't quite understand if he understood what I was saying. It's like, where would you go when you die? He's like, South Africa, because I like it. So I don't know, reincarnation. I don't know what he was thinking anyway. But then he prayed straight down the script with me. I went down the script. He prayed with me. It was easy. So it works in German. Praise the Lord. So I was so excited, you know, because I knew, I mean, you know, when somebody is German and you just want them to Jesus and you're in Texas or Colorado or somewhere that's not Germany, you know you're in the will of God. So that was exciting. That was really exciting to be led by the Holy Spirit that way. So I got 2 this week, and so they added it to their number. So that was cool. That was really a blessing and a favor. So then I came in just a few minutes after Brother Jerry started preaching, so I didn't miss him. That was a really good message on the glory of God, which I'll probably share maybe not today, but another time. So that was so cool to experience something like that, you know, just to be in winning people to Jesus at a believers' convention. That was really exciting. So what else? I got to spend some time with John and Helen. Not too much, though, because, I mean, they get up really early, and I had to go straight. So when I got back, they were in bed because it was like 10:30, 11. I got to see Christian and Rebecca and their kids, and their oldest is 9 now, which is really amazing. Yeah. So it was just a really great time. I think one of the big things that they were saying, Kenneth Copeland was saying, and he kept doing this. He's like, you're getting stretched right now. Stretch, stretch, stretch. So I would sit in some of those messages and just be like, this is so much, you know. Just stretching your vision, stretching being around people like that, men and women of God. It stretches how you think. It stretches. It just really, you should be doing these things. Like, you know you should be in faith, speaking the word of God. But they're just stretching you. And then they stretch you in their vision and their doing, like to see the level they're on. You know, I don't know how many of you ever listened to Jesse Duplantis. Like, he's very unusual. And the thing I really like about him is the reality of the relationship he has with the Lord. Yeah. It's just so real. Yeah. And I know no relationship, no two relationships are the same, you know, like, I have a different relationship with Dad than my brothers do, than my mom does, than you do. Like, everyone has a different relationship. So I don't want Jesse's relationship with God. I just want to know him better, you know? And I'm sure, Jesse offends people, I'm sure, a lot, because he talks about money all the time. Like, he is one of the richest men in Louisiana, probably. Like, he is extremely wealthy. And he's talking about, you know, the wealth he has, and he's believing for, I think he said, a $40 million jet. That's what he's believing for. And they're on such a level, like a, such a higher level, that it's like, God, you know, we're just like, Lord, just bless me just a little bit. Just bless me just a little bit, you know. You know, just give me another $100 this month, whatever. Like, the Lord wants to increase us so much. Like, I can prove in the Bible that God wants you to be rich. I can prove that. He does. But what's more important is that we prosper. And we have too much. So whatever that is for you, God wants us to have too much so we can bless other people. And, you know, the Copelands, they live what they preach. As we saw, like, they give money. They just give. They give, they give, they give. They're not holding on to stuff. And that's one of the reasons why I believe God can trust them so much, with so much authority and power and wealth and riches, really, is because things don't hold them, you know. They hold the things and they give them, you know. He had a great story. He's like, does anybody want to know how to get a Harley? It's like, yeah, tell me. He's like, my wife was like, hey, check out this Harley. And so Gloria's like, I want to buy this for you. And so she bought it for Brother Copeland. But they give all the time. And I think John was saying they've given away like 7 or more airplanes. It's a lot. And not just like, what Brother Copeland does, is he doesn't just give things away. Like he puts them in first class condition before he gives them away. And so most people are like, what? You're going to give away a jet for starters? Like, that's crazy. But secondly, you're not going to let them fix it up. You're going to make it like brand new before you give it away. And it's just challenging. One thing John Kuhn said to me before I went, and he's like, don't go empty-handed. And it's absolutely true. Like first off, they're going to teach on giving a lot. But, you know, you have to, if something's worth something to you, it's going to cost you something, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're just getting stuff for free, like, you don't have a value on it. So you have to pay for something that's valuable. Anyway, but one of the cool things, I just want to share this with you. So how many of you heard of Bill Winston? So I encourage you to listen to him. We did a series a while back about one of his series, which is The Power of Confession and the Tongue. And so he's in the Illinois, Chicago area, and he's really a mighty man of God. And I got to hear him live. And it's kind of become, you know how the Lord starts manifesting in churches in certain ways, like, you know, people get knocked down on the power sometimes, or people start laughing. We've experienced both of those things. One of the things that the Lord's done is, and I think it's probably because of maybe the teaching that is in the churches, but what they'll do is they'll start bringing money up on the front and just put money down, you know. And so people started doing that during his teaching. I didn't hear him. I don't think he said anything about it. I guess last year I asked, they did that. You know, they started bringing money and they put it down on the steps. And basically, when something blesses you, they start doing that. I'm not asking that you do that or anything. But I was watching this and I was thinking, man, there's probably a lot of emotional giving going on because he's exciting. Like he's a charismatic leader. Like he's very charismatic and he just really stirs people up. But then I was thinking, man, like I'm watching his anointing and he's been declaring that, you know, the glory of God and the financial increase. And it's like a flood that's just flowing into his ministry just because he's standing up there. So I felt that anointing and it was just, and I was like, I'm going to be part of this. So I pulled out $100 and for the ministry, and I sowed it. So if you put your faith on that, because we need that. Like that, I was watching, I was like, that's not natural. That money was just flooding into someone's life. Like, how many of you have ever experienced money flooding into your accounts? Like, I hope so. But most of us, that doesn't happen, right? Let's just be honest. It doesn't happen. Like, you have to work hard, and toil and sweat. But that's the blessing. God just wants to pour into us. And so, what's that? Okay. Lord, we just put our faith on that. Lord, I gave in faith, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for that same anointing, Lord, that's on our ministry, Lord. We're partnered with the Copelands, Lord. And we just thank you for just a flood of increase. I pray it for our ministry, our church, and everyone in this room, and our brothers and sisters aren't here. We just think, we call it, and we say money's flooding into the kingdom. And Lord, we're going to be faithful with it, Lord. And we're going to use it for preaching the gospel all across the world. And in our city, Lord. So we just call money. You start flooding in here. We're magnetic to money because of the blessing of God. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So somebody gave me $100, so that was good. That's 1-to-1. But the Lord said we can have 30, 60, 100, even 1,000 times. Praise the Lord. So that was really cool to see that. That's a wild bunch there, I'll say. They're wild. You think we're crazy? We'll go to the Believers' Convention because everybody's like, Don. Everybody's like, woo! So, and I was like, I'm not going to let that, you know, I'm going to participate here, you know? So, Bill Winston was teaching some guy, just, he's like, I got to run. Bam! The guy's, he started running. That was fun. Yeah. So I got to, I wanted to go see the facility, the Eagle Mountain facility and property and stuff. Yeah.
I don't want us to miss this. What Matthew's teaching right now, some of you are going, it's bouncing off of you. Would you read Luke 6:38, please?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you guys put Luke 6:38 up here? And You need to understand that this is not just happening to big guys.
Yeah, that's right.
How old are you, Joshua? Where's my Joshua? How old are you? You're going to be 29, right?
Wow.
So, let me tell you a story. When we, the night we dedicated Joshua, we had Intercourt Ministries on Saturday nights. We were also on staff at Bethel Temple back in the day. And the night we dedicated him, he was just, you know, little guy. Well, he was never, well, I guess he was, but I mean. So it was an unusual circumstance. Of course, we were going to dedicate him. So all of our family, my mom was over here and my dad was over there. And Patty's family showed up, which was unusual. And as that night proceeded, the pastor called me out. And we dedicated Joshua. And then later he called me out and began to pray for me. And that very thing happened.
Yeah.
People began throwing money. They were when I got up off my face, there was money everywhere. Yeah. You remember that? Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
Nobody had ever seen that happen before in that church. It was like, and their money was everywhere.
Yeah, supernatural.
Pastor Miller at that point said, he actually called it. He said, I want you to come and throw money at the apostles' feet.
Wow.
That's what he said. And money was just everywhere. Now, what's that got to do with you? Read Luke 6:38.
All right, it says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you.
Okay, King James, not the new King James, says men will heap into your bosom. You need to understand, God probably will not counterfeit the money and send it to you.
Yeah. Amen.
Although, you know something, that's for another time. But I know some of you are thinking, well, it doesn't happen to me. Listen, guys, God wants to release that flow into your life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And he wants to release it in a way that you will experience that increase. And so what Matthew just shared with you, I didn't feel like you were receiving it.
I receive it.
And I want you to receive it. Now here's the trick. See, as I give, it will be given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Contents may have settled.
Yeah.
Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will men heap into your bosom? For with the measure you measure, it will be measured back to you. See, some of you will never experience this because you don't ever give. Now, here's the other thing. As you begin to give, you got to do it out of a pure heart.
Yeah.
That says, I'm going to give not because I want to expect something back, but I'm going to give because I love God and I want to be a blessing. But then you put after the heart's right, then you begin to put your expectation and your faith on it coming back as a seed that will produce harvest. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. It's so critical you understand this. And then you need to understand, don't try and con people.
Yeah.
Don't con people to get stuff.
Right.
Don't drop hints to get stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, see, that's you trying to manipulate and you trying to control and you trying to get people to give to you and you're just so poor and you're just so needy. Would you please help me, brother? No, we didn't talk about that. We're talking about you trusting God and he will use men.
Right, yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Matter of fact, if you come and talk to me about your terrible need and how you're hoping I'm going to give it to you, probably God won't use me.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you come conning me, you're not, or anybody else, just count that person off. Say, well, God can't use that person.
Right.
See, so if I come begging Matthew, you might as well just scratch Matthew off the list of God using him to meet your need. Are you hearing something, guys?
Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm. So Matthew, I want you to pray again, and I want us to have an expectation on God that he will cause money to flow into us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Thank you, Jesus.
He does want to do that so that you can be a blessing. We're entering into a time where God wants to give us the harvest of Amos.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord.
What is the harvest of Amos? The harvest of Amos is when I put the seed in the ground, the harvester harvests it.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
What is that? That's a supernatural increase. I heard Brother Copeland say this, and so since Matthew's talking about Believer's Convention, this will apply. He's talking about, the Scripture says, God will multiply your what?
Seed.
Your seed sown.
Yeah.
And I heard Brother Copeland say this, you need to get rid of the natural mathematic or multiplication tables.
Yeah, that's right.
Because see, I think, well, I give my seed, God's going to multiply that by 20. No, that's not what he's saying. Come here, Jordan. Come here. Come here. Caleb, come here. Okay, Matthew can be one too. Michael, would you come? Okay, you guys are my angels.
Okay.
You're my angels. Okay, so let me just check. See. Well, I'll just check it. Okay. So how many do I have?
Hope.
You can't keep these. I need one more angel, because I got 6 months. One more angel.
Marcy.
Well, Casey's already. He's up and ready to go. He could be an angel too. So here we go. This is what you can't keep it.
I have seven.
Well, that's okay. You just use mine. Praise the Lord. God's trying to multiply it to me, and I'm. here's what he's talking about. Guys, I want you to get this.
Yeah.
This is how we think we do it. Let's see, Patty, why don't you come be I'm going to sow my seed to you. Okay? Okay? So what I do, this is how we think. Father, thank you for multiplying my seed sown.
Yeah.
And I'm believing for the 20-fold. I'm believing for the 30-fold. I'm believing for the 100-fold.
Yeah.
But he says, I'm going to multiply your seed sown. So now when I begin to sow, God brings him the multiplies with me. Y'all ready to sow?
Yeah.
You're angels. When I sow, guess what you're going to do? You're going to match my sowing.
Cool.
Okay? So in Jesus' name, I sow my seed.
Amen.
And my angels come, and they begin to plant
Amen.
Seed
Thank you,
as
Lord.
Well.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I want lots of angels.
Me too. Yeah.
So,
is this mine?
I guess it is. Karen said so. Glad I didn't bring the hundreds. Thank you. So my point is this today. My point is this. The word says, bless the Lord you his angels who excel in strength,
hearkening unto the
voice
of his
word. So as I bring my seed and I sow my seed, and I'm thanking God for it, and I'm declaring favor, I'm thanking the Lord for increase on that seed sown.
Thank you, Lord,
What's
for increasing the seed sown.
God said, I will multiply the seed sown.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Not the corn stalk that comes up from my single stalk, but all of a sudden, all that seed that's sown, God is doing that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe that. I take it.
Well, I don't get it. I don't know. Can that really happen? Yes. Will it happen for those of us who believe?
Yes,
I believe it.
Matthew, pray for us again, please.
Praise the Lord.
I want you to get in a posture of receiving.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes. Thank
That's
you, Jesus.
You
yeah. yeah. Amen.
Find somebody in need of a motorcycle. We've done it. We built church buildings around the world.
Thank you, Lord.
We built homes around the world.
Thank
Guys,
you, Lord.
Guys, connect to this, please.
I'm connecting. Thank you, Lord.
It's your seed sown.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, thank you, Lord. I receive it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, we believe your word. We're believers. We're not doubters, Lord.
Receive.
Let's just declare it after me. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm not a doubter.
Not a doubter.
I believe the Lord's word.
I believe
as I sow my seed, the Lord will give me more seed. I will be faithful to sow, and the Lord will increase the seed sown. I believe it and I receive it. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We believe it, Lord. We're believers, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. So, yeah, that's a good time to receive an offering. So if you need an envelope, raise your hand. An usher will get you one. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, one thing, it was kind of cool. Kenneth was saying that he was talking about, how many of you ever watched Joel Osteen? I'm sure you have. Okay. So his dad, John Osteen, he said that he would not squelch or say, don't give to Kenneth Copeland Ministries or someone else, because he's like, you're teaching them how to increase. Yeah. So I'm not going to stop you from giving, you know, to the Copelands. So even, I guess still, they still write huge checks to the Copeland Ministry because, yeah. So you know what? If you're receiving from a ministry like Copeland's, man, do it. You know, give it. Praise the Lord. All right, let's just bless this offering. Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word says that if we tithe, you'd open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing on us that we wouldn't have room enough to receive it. So, Lord, we just thank you for that tithe. Lord, we're not going to rob you in tithes or offerings. We're going to give. Lord, I just thank you for helping us hear your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would not just give out of necessity or out of just emotionalism, but Lord, we would give because the Holy Spirit tells us to give. Lord, I pray that we'd be obedient. Lord, I pray that you would begin to step us up in our faithfulness so that we can be trusted with more, Lord. So we bless this tithe and offering, and Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I think that, well, the Lord's going to, he's going to challenge you and stretch you in your giving. And that's how you increase. So one of the things I think I shared in the interview is like the Lord has been stair stacking me in giving. And I believe, you know, he wants to give you more seed. So if he's going to give you seed to the sower, are you sowing, you know? If you want to increase, why not give to the kingdom? Because he's going to give you more seed so you can sow more into the kingdom. It's actually, John Kuhn actually told me, he's like, you know, we're just like a tube or like a hose that God wants to flow through the gold. And he said something like, and the tube can't help if it's gold plated, like he can't, right? So God wants to bless us, but we're not here just to absorb the money. That's what the world does. You know, that's their objective, is to be rich, to be famous, to have nice cars, nice house, or, you know, the best cars, the best houses, you know, fly around and whatever. But that's not what we're doing. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, and this changed my thing, it says it's a sin to desire to be rich. That's wrong. Okay, and I was thinking, why is that wrong? Well, it's wrong because you are rich. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're a joint heir with Christ Jesus. So you're in unbelief if you desire to be rich. It's just a matter of putting your faith and beginning to receive and receive the manifestation of the riches. You know, the word says that Jesus meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So, I mean, if we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, like, there is a provision for every need you'll ever have.
Yes, it's
true. So we are the richest people in the world.
Yes, we are.
Praise the Lord. And if it didn't look like it, that's because you need to get in the Word, and it changes your life.
Right.
You know, it was so cool being in that gathering of believers, because it's like, you know what? I mean, this is one of the greatest gatherings on earth. Like, the most powerful people in the world are in there. Yeah, the princes of the people. It's like, I'm with the princes of the people. Like, this is awesome. And one night, I'd love to talk about it maybe another time, but Jerry Seville's talking about that we need to start declaring the glory of the Lord over this earth. And that was Thursday night, and he had us all turn to our location, you know, toward the direction of where we were from, and to declare the glory of God. And I was like, wow, this is the princes of the people. This is where it's happening.
And that was so cool. Like, this is where the power is.
Praise the Lord. So, yeah. Okay. Let's declare the glory of the Lord. Let's declare the glory of the Lord over Longmont. I gotta tell you something first, though. Okay. We can't just do that first. Okay. You know, I was actually thinking, like, there's some things in my heart about this city, and I think one of those things that Jerry Seville was saying, and I was like, wow, this is what we need to do. Like, we need to start declaring the glory of the Lord over the city. So let me find it real quick. I was like, I'm going to write all these notes down in one book so I know where it is, you know, more or less. Okay, so Brother Jerry really went in depth into this teaching, which is really good. And I'm sure some of you heard before, but he was talking about how God doesn't do anything in the earth unless he first declares it to his prophets. Because we're God's mouthpiece in this earth, and we know that Satan has no power but through men, because we are created in God's image. So that means we are creators. Satan is not creator. He's an angel. They don't have the power to create things. All they can do is to cause us to create things and to speak words into this earth. So it really matters what we say, okay? So we are created in God's image to declare the Lord, the glory of the Lord. So God doesn't do anything in this earth unless he first tells the prophets, because the prophets have to declare that it's going to happen before it happens. Because, you know, the word says that God knows, he's, I declare the beginning from the end from the beginning. Okay, so he said there were three major characteristics of God's glory. And the first one is that it's the manifested presence of God. And that's tangible. You know, I hope some of you have experienced some of that, you know. I'd love to experience the Shekinah glory where you can see it, you know, because it's a cloud. You know, I'm just convinced, like, that's why Adam and Eve were naked, because the Shekinah, God clothes himself in a cloud. You know, Old Testament, he was in a cloud because, you know, he could not show himself to people because it's so powerful, his glory would just smoke you, right? So I'm convinced that you can read into that Adam and Eve were clothed with the glory of God. So they weren't naked, they didn't have any clothes, but they were surrounded with God's glory, and it was like a cloud. That's what I'm convinced of. So that's the presence of God. It's tangible. You can feel it. You know, I can feel the Lord's anointing right now. When people were bringing up money to Bill Winston, I was like, you know, you're kind of skeptical. Like, some people are probably emotional, but guess what? I feel the anointing right now, and the flood of God's favor is just pouring into this man, so I'm going to participate in this, right? So you can feel the presence of the Lord. And so secondly, it's the manifested power of God. How many of you need the power of God? I need the power of God. Say to somebody, I need the power of God. So, and then thirdly, it's the manifested goodness of God. One of the, so cool, Creflo Dollar was teaching on, he did two or three messages, and he was really building each time on the grace of God. And he had to go really in depth because, you know, grace is not a license to sin. We already had a license to sin. You don't need any more license to sin, right? But grace is definitely not a license to sin. So he had to talk about the law, and he just went through it, you know. But he was talking about how we need to focus our faith on one thing. And he said, you need to focus your faith on that God, how much God loves you, and that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And that will heal you, because that's the power of love is the power that heals. And so, because if you don't believe God really loves you, and if you don't really believe you're righteous because of Jesus, you can't really receive anything from the Lord, because you don't really think he wants to bless you. You don't really think he wants to give you any money. You don't really think, you know, you just don't think that, because you don't believe God really loves you. So that's a real key that I heard, is that we really need to build our faith that Jesus loves us. And he said it, I don't know if I can say it like him, he's like, Jesus loves himself some Matthew, you know? So he's like, Jesus loves himself some Creflo. Anyway. So yeah, we have to build our faith that God really loves us. I have a verse that I want to show you real quick. So we build that, you know, because we constantly get condemned. The devil tries to condemn us. We condemn ourselves. People condemn us. But we have to trust in the favor of the Lord and his love. So let me find this verse here. Isaiah 54:10. So let's go there real quick. This is a really good one. Because, you know, it doesn't, if we really believe grace, like, it doesn't matter what you do ever. All you have to do is believe. Believe and think, that's all. You know? That's all, you know? It's really, that's really just the essence of the Christian life is just believing on Jesus. That's all. You're going to go to heaven if you believe on Jesus. Simple, done. You don't have to do anything. And so we have to constantly make sure we're not falling into the law and saying, I have to do this, 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 this. Then I'll be a good Christian. Then I'll have success. Then blah, blah, blah. And it does obviously it doesn't give us the license to sin. But we have to build our faith in the love of Jesus. And if we're really, truly walking in grace, we won't sin. We can't sin. Isaiah 54:10 says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. And in another translation, kindness is translated as love. But it's also favor. You know, someone's kind to you, it means they're blessing you, you know? I was thinking about the word kindness. Like, we don't really use it that much. You know, you say, oh, that's so kind, you know? Somebody might say something nice. You say, oh, that's kind. But usually it has to do with how someone is talking to you or how they're blessing you. How, you know, kindness is going out of your way to, you know, say you saw somebody on the street who needs help. Giving them money, that's kindness. So that's favor, really, if you think about it. Love, favor, grace, they're all kind of all the same thing. So God's kindness will not depart from you. How many of you love that? Because that is so good. So isn't that cool? Because it doesn't matter what you do. If you mess up, if you screw up, whatever. If you don't, you know, if you really make it bad, make a big mistake, or if you just, you know, fail to pray 10 minutes that day, or whatever it is. Whatever it is, or even just read the book of the month, you know, that one chapter. If you fail or make a mistake, his kindness will not depart from you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, there was one verse that so blessed me, and it's in the New Testament, and it said, God will not impute sin to us. And how Creflo said it, he said, God will not charge sin to your account anymore, ever, because he already charged all of it to Jesus' account. That's good news. That's good news. So he talked about, and it's really great. I was just going to get into a little bit of it. He talked about how, it was a really good picture for me. Grace is like going to the grocery store. You don't have to manufacture the food. You don't have to package it. You don't have to slaughter the cows. You don't have to do that. So the law is you have to slaughter the cows, package the Wheaties, whatever. You have to go do it. Right, you have to make the product. But going to the grocery store is you don't have to do that. You just have to get it in your cart. And the transaction is getting the stuff in your cart. That's the labor of faith. Because we still have to labor. We're just not laboring in the law.
That's good.
Which means you have to follow all these commandments. You have to, you know, sacrifice cows and sheep and all that stuff. So going to the grocery store is like grace. And then faith is the transaction. That's how we get the stuff. So that was such a blessing to me. So God will not charge sin to your account anymore. None. At all. I mean, that's really the radical grace message. He will not charge sin to our account because he charged the whole thing to Jesus. It's on his account, not my account anymore. So that's so good. And, you know, I don't have time to get into all the other, you know, balanced grace, you know, grace empowers us to serve more, to do more. And I love what they were saying was, you're going to be working harder than everyone else around you when you're really in grace. Yes. You're going to be working harder.
Right.
You're going to be serving the Lord more.
Right.
And you're not going to be able to sin because you're walking in grace. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. So the word says that his kindness shall not depart from us. That's a good thing. So let's talk about grace. So the three major characteristics of God's glory. One is his manifested presence. You know, we know the story of Moses where he's like, I want to see your glory. And God said, I'm going to declare my goodness and mercy. I'm going to pass before you. And then you can just see my backside because you can't see my front because you'll die. right? So that's the presence of God actually here. Second is manifested power of God. And third is manifested goodness of God. So there's a key verse actually that I want to, I wrote here, declare his glory over Longmont. So we need to start doing that. Because if God's presence, power, and goodness shows up in your life, in this church, in our city, like, it will change everything.
Yes.
It'll change everything. Let's turn to Acts 10:38. So Brother Jerry said the Lord woke him up in the middle of the night and he, like, told him this verse or something. And he kind of ignored the Lord like three times or something. I think he even saw the verse like in like neon red or something. He's like, I know what it says kind of thing. So but the third time he's like, okay, I'll look at it kind of thing. So praise the Lord. So Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus. Are we all there? Let's read it together here. Okay. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So this verse, this is the presence of God. Jesus fully embodied the presence of God, as we know. But it says, so there's the presence of God, because it says, for God was with him. And then there was the power of God. It says, with the Holy Spirit and with power, and who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So Jesus does good.
Yes.
So there's the presence, the power, and the goodness of God.
That's good.
So you know what? Guess what? That's what God's will for our life is, to manifest his power, his presence, and his goodness. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to be doing at church, but more importantly, in our houses, in our family, you know, where we live, and in our workplace, and on the streets. Like, we're supposed to be manifesting these three things. Praise the Lord. And notice that going about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So we're supposed to be healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Praise the Lord. Well, I just feel like I need to maybe spend a couple minutes here talking about healing. And then we need to declare the glory of the Lord over this city as well. So we really have to, we have to know God loves us before we can receive anything from him.
Yeah.
Right? So I encourage you guys to just build your faith and just know that God loves you. You know, as Christians, we hear it, you know, God loves you. Well, great, fine, that's super. That's what we say. But do you really believe it? And I think if you really believe it, you're going to act differently. Because you don't deserve anything. You don't deserve it. But he loves you and he wants you to have all these things. Praise the Lord. So, hey, let's turn to Psalm 103 real quick. This is one of my favorite chapters here. I just want to read this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Yes, thank you.
How many of you know what the word all means? Do you know what the word all means? Is there any like exclusion under that word? It means all except for cancer, right? Or all except for headaches?
No.
Or all except for diabetes?
No.
All except for, I don't know, broken bones. Oh man, Bill Winston, he started preaching on, you know what? He was showing us that God can replace body parts. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. Because it's true. The Bible, throughout the Bible, you know, Jesus, it says he made the maimed whole.
Yes, he made the maimed whole.
And he was talking about how God has a blueprint for your body in heaven. So I was like, wow, cool. He's starting to build faith in that. You know, it's not just, oh, God, heal me of this pain or heal me of this cold or whatever. God can actually give you a new body part. Praise the Lord. He can do that.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. We believe that. So, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. That's good news. That's good news. Okay, let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter 2:24. It says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So Jesus, it was charged, our sins were charged to his account, completely charged to his account. So we have no more sin because it's been charged to Jesus. That we, having died to sins, we're dead to sins. You know, the word says that we're dead to the law. You know, the law of sin and death doesn't apply to us anymore. And guess what diseases are? That's a part of the law of sin and death. It doesn't apply to me. I'm free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from the law of sin and death. Because of that, it doesn't matter what the disease is.
That's right.
By whose stripes you were healed. Praise the Lord. You can see we're going somewhere here. We're just receiving the word of God into our bodies. And we're building faith. Just building our faith in the word. I'm just showing you kind of what you need to do, though. See, this is what you do about any problem you have. Let's go to John 17. Actually, yeah. I added this verse into my healing scriptures here on my iPhone. So let's go to John 17, verse 22. Verse 22, 23. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, "I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." Wow. So, the Lord wants unity in the church. Oh, it was so exciting to see. I have to share this with you. The first night, I don't know if you missed it, but the Pope gave an audience to Brother Copeland and his crew. Yeah. Awesome. And the Queen got 30 minutes. Most people get 15 minutes. Okay. He said that they had like an hour lunch, and they spent like another hour or 2 hours with him. And he said if he didn't have something before, he would have spent all day with him. So God is really doing something in the church right now. And it was so cool. I mean, they played a message of the Pope. You know, this is Pope Francis. This is the real deal. He gave a message to an earlier convention, but they played it again.
That was the minister's conference.
The minister's conference, yeah. So he gave that a direct message to us. You know, to the Copeland Ministries. And then they gave him one back. But they showed pictures of Brother Copeland praying for the Pope. And so, you know, he blessed him, and then Kenneth blessed them. And it was just supernatural what God's doing right now in the church, that we're one, the Lord, we're one. It's one church. And so it's really exciting to see. Cool. Habemus Papam. We have a Pope. Praise the Lord. So God wants unity, that the whole world would know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So we have to build our faith in God's love for us. Jesus said that God loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. So Marcy, did you know God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus? Amen. God loves Matthew as much as he loves Jesus. And we start building our faith in that, then you know what? We're ripe to be healed. We're ripe to be prospered because God, he'll give me anything he gave Jesus.
That's right.
He's not going to hold it back. There's a verse that says, you know, how much more? Or he gave Jesus, how, you know, he will give us all things. If he didn't spare his own son, how much more will he give with him all things to us? So that's why you shouldn't desire to be rich. Don't desire to be rich because you are rich.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't be in sin. You're rich. You rich people, you. Stop sinning.
Don't be in unbelief. You're rich. You rich people, man. Okay.
And then 1 John 4:16 and 19 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." How many of you believe the love God has for you? God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And then it says, "We love him because he first loved us. Okay, let's go a little bit more here. It says Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So we've been free. If you're plugged into the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death doesn't apply to you. That includes sickness, that includes pain, that includes poverty and lack. Yeah. All that stuff. Confusion. Whatever it is. Dissatisfaction. The spiritual things too. We're free from those things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to read some more here. How many of you, you know, we've been talking about the blessing and the cursing of the law in Deuteronomy 28. You know, one of the curses of the law is it says, "Every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed." That's a pretty hefty curse. Okay, so if you don't take care of the law, you're going to have this curse on you, right? But guess what? We don't have to follow the law, because Jesus has given us a commandment of love, and that fulfills all the commandments. So if we're walking in the law of love, then we're not going to break the law. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus, let's go to Galatians 3:13. I believe some of you are going to get healed today.
Thank you.
As many of you want to, you can get healed. Praise the Lord. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.'" So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And that includes every sickness, every disease that is in the book of the law and that's not in the book of the law. And that's exciting for me, because you know what? That tells, you know, if the devil tries to lie and say, "Oh, well, you know, pains, diseases, sickness." I don't know if he's ever lied to you about certain diseases, but you know, he says every disease that's not written in the book of the law. That's everything. That's everything. There's nothing that disqualifies you from being healed from anything. Your disease isn't special, so stop worshiping it, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Did you know, if you look up what the word disease is, it's anything that alters the natural functioning of a body. So you don't let the devil lie to you and say, "Oh, well, that's not a disease." You know, I read, you know, it says, you know, "The Lord heals me of all my diseases," or "He bore my pains," or whatever. You know, the Bible, it's good for every disease, and a disease is something that it changes or alters the natural functioning. So if you're not functioning naturally or properly or the way you were designed to be, that's a disease. So just call it for what it is and don't receive it in your body.
That's good.
Praise the Lord. I don't know about you guys, but I'm healed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, in Exodus 15:26, it says, "For I am the Lord who heals you." That's his job. That's what he does. The Lord is the one who heals me. Exodus 23:25 says, "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless the bread, your bread and your water, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, that word has come to pass. The Bible says no one will be barren in our land. Praise the Lord. So the Lord has increased you. Praise the Lord. That's the blessing of God.
That's the
prompt. Praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing Alvin and Emma with a beautiful son. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, no one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. That's physically, that's financially as well. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. If you're barren in any area of your life, that's a curse. And it doesn't apply to you anymore. You're not going to be barren anymore. This church is not going to be barren anymore. That's good news. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're not barren anymore. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3, 7, and 8 says, "Do not be wise in your own eye. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Flesh. That's not a spiritual thing. That's flesh, right? That's your body. All right, Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." Praise the Lord. And of course, Psalm 103 says that we are healed of all our diseases. Every last one of them. Praise the Lord. There's a paradigm shift for me in my thinking. And I don't know how many of you are plugged into the Copeland ministry, like on a regular basis, like hearing what they're teaching on or whatever. But one of the things that Brother Copeland started saying was that I take it, I have it. Right? And so let's go to Mark 11. So driving back, I just started receiving that revelation. I never got it until I started saying it. I'm like, whoa, that's weird. So I take it, I have it. And so let's just give you an example. I'm not going to do it today. Maybe I'll do it another time. But I think it was Creflo. He pulled out a $100 bill, and he said, you know, he promised it to this person on the front. He said, "Here, this is yours. It's yours." You know? And so basically, you can, I receive it. Praise the Lord, I receive it. Great, super. I receive it. Well, let's see here. Well, I got to start somewhere. I got a dollar for you, Dad. Well, just a second. Right. So you said, "Oh, sure, I receive it." So I have a dollar for you, and you said, "I receive it."
I receive it.
Great. You're gonna take it, right? You have to take it. If it's here for you, you have to take it. So that's a change for me because I receive it. Lord, I've received healing. I've received it. Praise God. Well, I take it. Yeah, I got to take it too. Right? So if I say, you know, I have a dollar for you.
I take it.
You take it.
I have it.
Right. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to take it and you have it, right? And that's how faith.
I have a dollar for you. I have a dollar for you.
Yeah. You take it.
I take it.
Multiplying. It's multiplying. Praise the Lord. So we have to take it and have it. And so as you know, we're Word of Faith people because we believe the Word, we're faith. And we know that we're supposed to be watching the tense of our words, right?
Yes.
But we don't. You know, we don't. Instead of saying, you know, "I believe I'll be healed," you know, "I'm believing for." Well, if you're believing for something, you don't have it, right? So we have to take it and have it. So I was like, wow, I have to start. So I take my healing. I have my healing. I have it. It's mine. I have my healing. Because faith is now. It's not tomorrow. Faith is now. It's not someday. Faith is right now. You know, I'm rich right now. You know, Creflo, he was saying, one of those two guys, Creflo or Bill, he's like, I believe you're going to be prosperous. You're going to become prosperous at this meeting. That's what he said. Because faith is now. You're prosperous now, not tomorrow. You're rich now, not tomorrow. You're healed now, not tomorrow. It's now faith is. So before I go to Mark 11, I want to show you this real quick. Hope you guys are receiving this.
I am.
And it's fun. And I thought I didn't have anything to share today. Okay. Praise the Lord. The Lord is giving you something here. Let's go to Hebrews. Where is that verse anyway? Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, okay, so where is it? Okay, it's Hebrews 11. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Okay, so faith is substance. They were saying faith is currency. Where have we heard that before?
Yeah, right.
Reese House and Dad. Faith is your currency. It's better than a coin right now. It's better than that dollar I just gave. Faith will manifest. So how many of you remember for the Acts leaders, we had an Acts leadership meeting a while ago, and Dad's like, "When you get to my house, you should knock on the wall or the floor." How many of you did that?
Not too many.
Not too many. I did it, okay, because Dad's like, "We don't have any more debt. It's a house paid for. So I was, faith is a substance. Right, so guess what I was doing at the Copeland headquarters? I was
knocking on their posts. Faith is a substance, right? So I was like, hey, because this is real. Like, they have a huge land. They have churches on that facility. They have office buildings. They have an airport. He has one of the nicest jets in the world. I mean, faith is a substance. Okay? So I was like, faith is a substance. That hurts. Faith is a substance. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we don't see it with these eyes. We see it with the eyes, you know, of our heart. And that's what faith is. That's why vision is so powerful. We've been teaching on vision. It's so powerful because, you know, faith is substance. Praise the Lord. So I just want to share this last thing here with you. Mark 11. It says, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So we have to believe we receive them, and we will have them. So part of that believing we receive them is the taking. Like, I believe it, I have it. I take it, I have it. Praise the Lord. So let's stand up. So we're gonna take our healing right now, and then we're gonna declare the glory of the Lord over our city. Praise the Lord. Did you guys receive something? Are you gonna take something here? You take it. Well, we'll just take it together here right now. Father, we believe your word. Lord, we just specifically, Lord, we're praying right now. We believe your word for healing. Lord, your word says you heal us of all our diseases. So, Lord, right now, we're just going to put our faith on this. We're going to take it. We're going to have our healing in Jesus' name. So just repeat after me. In Jesus' name, Lord, you are my healer. My diseases were charged to your account. They're no longer on my account. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I take my healing, and I have my healing right now in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, thank him, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. I have my healing. I take my healing. I have it, Lord. I take it. I have it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I take it. I have my healing. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And remember, faith is not, we're not moved by what we feel or by what we see. Because the healing begins right when we believe, right at that moment. Even if your body doesn't say that you are healed, we receive it and we take it. We take our healing. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just stretch your hands out. And it could be in different directions because we're going to speak to the city right now. We're going to just declare that the manifest presence of God, the manifest power of God, and the manifest goodness of God is going to manifest in the city. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Well, let's just declare it. We just say the glory of the Lord is filling this city. The presence of God is filling the city. The power of God is filling the city. The goodness of God is filling the city. We speak glory. We speak the glory of the Lord to the city of Longmont. To our city of Longmont. Longmont, wake up. The glory has come to you. The glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Burn Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado 80502.